Our scripture lesson is from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 12. You can read along in the bulletins. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being of full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above all names, every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my brethren or beloved brethren, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
So I'm going to have Ashley put up the first sermon for my, or sorry, the first slide for my sermon. All right. Do these acronyms look familiar at all? Okay, so what is a CEO? Chief Executive Officer. What about a COO? Operating Officer. What about a CFO? A CTO? A CSO? Ooh, we're starting to get a little Chief Science Officer. We're starting to get, or it could be a Chief Spiritual Officer. Okay, let's put up the next slide. Now here's, they're starting to get a little more difficult, I am assuming here, okay? So the CAIO, or CAIO, is the Chief Artificial Intelligence Officer. And then the other CEO is the Chief Experience Officer. The CGO is the Chief Gaming Officer. The CKO is the Chief Knowledge Officer. And the CVO is either the Chief Vision Officer or the Chief Value Officer. Okay? Now, what can we tell from this list? And I got this from Wikipedia, and believe me, there were a lot more options for me to choose from. Okay? What can we tell from this list? We can tell that we love our titles. We love our titles, right? And yet, to have Christ's mind would mean to give these up. It would mean to live as the positionless one. The untitled one. That's what the word to empty the self means in today's scripture. It means not just to be selfless, but to actually give up all those things that are points of pride and points of privilege. And let's face it, why would we want to do that, right? Why would we want to do that? Have you ever noticed how accustomed we are to having people do things for us? Here's just a brief list. We have people change the oil in our cars. Many of us do anyhow. We have people rotate our tires. We have people who cut our hair. We have, if we go out to eat, we have people who cook our food and then bring it right to the table for us. We have people who bag our groceries. We have people who realign our spines, right, at the chiropractor. We have people who clean our teeth, for example, at the dentist. If you really think about it, it's almost like we're all 19th century nobility, right? I mean, we have so many people doing things for us all the time. And yet to have Christ's mind would mean to find a way in the midst of all this doing for that we experience to live as the commanded as opposed to the commanding one. To be like the ancient slave who is commanded as opposed to commanding. And why would we want to do that? I mean, why? How many people here have seen the Netflix series Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez? Am I the only one who watched it? There we go. We got a few people. A few people who are a little bit on, you know, we want to know. We want to know why he did what he did. He's the New England Patriot that was convicted of murder. Now, here's what struck me about this documentary. And that is the size of the crowds that would watch him play when he was just a 17 or 18-year-old, just a freshman at the University of Florida. Ashley, if you could put up the slide of their stadium. 88,548 people. That's the official seating tally for this, the U of F stadium. But on home games, they get more than 90,000 people up there. Ashley, if you could put up the next slide. Now, if you think that's a lot, they can actually have 400,000 people at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway to watch the Indy 500 if they count both the exterior seats and also the infield. And let's see the next slide. Now, this is the Intel, let's see if I can remember this correctly. This is the Intel Extreme Masters Tournament. This is an e-sport tournament. This is people playing video games, okay? There were 173,000 people there watching it live with another 46 million who were watching it online. And yet to have Christ's mind would mean choosing to live as the human one, the merely human one, in a world primed for demigods, for celebrities, for sporting stars, for platinum recording artists, for influencers. And why would we want to do that? Why would we want to give that up? Why would we want to be the person who exists in this world without a position? Why would we want to be the person who is the commanded as opposed to the commanding one? Why would we want to be the merely human person in a world that loves its celebrities and that is constantly gathering to watch them even do things like play video games? Well, maybe we'd want to do this because it would be a huge relief. You know, maybe we would want to do this because it would be a huge relief. Now, I was watching the new Taylor Swift documentary this last week. So you can see I was spending my time on Netflix. Okay, there it is. Thank you. And my initial reaction was like, I'm like, thank God I'm not Taylor Swift. Okay? You just keep seeing image after image of her hunched over her phone as she's composing songs. At the beginning of the documentary, it starts out with her talking to an agent, and she's discovered that she hasn't gotten any Grammy nominations. And she kind of tears up, and she's like, no, 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 you know, I'm going to do an even better album. There's this constant drive to create new things, to be better, faster, more beautiful. It just runs throughout the entire documentary. It's almost sort of emblematized, if you would, by all of the costume changes you see her making, all of the different hairstyles. So at first, my initial reaction was like, thank God I'm not Taylor Swift. I mean, this is a life full of exertion and pressure. But then I thought, actually, some of this looks pretty familiar. Let's face it, Taylor Swift is not the only time I've seen somebody hunched over a smartphone. I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? I spent a lot of time working with youth. I think the other thing, too, is that she's not the only one whose life really revolves around this emphasis on self-cultivation and self-curation. I think a lot of people are spending a lot of time where they're turning their life into this thing to be displayed to other people. They have to do things that are beautiful enough or interesting enough to earn other people's attention. And then there's just the way things are changing in our economy. I remember when I was kind of coming of age in the 80s, the big job, the job that everybody aspired to, was to be a doctor. Okay, do people remember that? How many 80s people? It's like medical school applications were through the roof. Everyone wanted to be a doctor. When you think about being a doctor is kind of, in many ways, sort of a conservative profession. I mean, it's really, you do a ton of memorizing, and then the model for learning is what they call see one, do one, teach one. And what that means is you watch somebody do the procedure, you learn how to do it, and then you teach it to someone else. That was the aspirational goal, job-wise, back in the 80s. Nowadays, people don't want to be doctors anymore. They want to be designers and programmers. They want to be engineers and entrepreneurs. They want to do things that are really creative. And to a certain extent, that sounds great, except that all that creativity really takes a toll. For example, on leisure time, if you can catch Eric after this service, ask him if it's easy or not easy for him to turn his mind off when it comes to writing his thesis, his dissertation. Creative work changes the way you interact with leisure because you're always having to think about it. You're always mulling it over. When my grandfather was a businessman way back when, he used to spend his leisure time watching either the Cleveland Indians or the Cleveland Browns. He would just sit around watching games, and that's what he did. Nowadays, my grandfather would probably have to be a rock climber or do something super interesting in his time off in order to feel as if he was using his leisure time in such a way that it would be conducive to being creative on the job. You know, Paul's reason for urging the Philippians to have Christ's mind was because of one of his pet peeves. He really just hates when people get into factions. It drives him crazy how people are always looking for these opportunities to say or to think that they are different from someone else. In his letter to the Corinthians, he's like, stop saying, I was baptized by Apollos. I was baptized by this person. You were baptized in Christ. In the letter to the Galatians, he's like, don't listen to these people who are coming from Jerusalem and who are telling you that you're not good enough. They just want to be made much of. They want to feel like they're different from you, but they're not. And then in Romans, it's like, if you remember, there's that whole fight. Should you eat vegetables, only eat vegetables, or can you eat meat? Who's the better person? For Paul, his advice about taking on urging the Philippians to take on Christ's minds has to do with his concern for the unity of his churches. But I would say that the problem now is not just that people want to feel different. It's that they feel as if they have to be different to keep up. I think it's just different now. It's not that people have this ego wrapped up in being different and looking down on people. I think people honestly feel like if they are not different, they are not going to be able to keep up. If they are not better than the next person, if they are not more accomplished than the next person, they feel as if they will be left behind. Today's text speaks into the contemporary context by inviting us to imitate Christ in a way that's a little different from how we often imitate him. You know, not just to feed the hungry or to heal those who are ill, but to give ourselves permission to be the positionless one, the one without a title, the one who's just a regular old person. It gives us permission to be the commanded as opposed to the commanding one, to be obedient, to really see that part of faith is just simply obeying. It's not always about the quest. Sometimes it's just the simplicity of obedience. And also to give ourselves permission to be the human one. So I would suggest that today's text really suggests to us, or it maybe inspires us to ask ourselves some questions like the following. You know, do I ever allow myself to just be a regular person? Is that allowed in my life? Do I experience the simplicity of obedience in my faith life? And finally, have I accepted my limits? And this is important. Not in a confessional sense. Not, you know, I'm such a bad person, I'm a worm, you know, I'm terrible. Not in that sense. But in the freeing way of accepting our humanity and letting go the things that we cannot and we are not called to do. Amen.